Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Welcome to the latest business of the business podcast. I am your co-host, JP John Paz, from the Two-Man Power Trip, of course. Joining me is the financial wrestling genius himself, the Dr. Lavi Morgan. Lavi, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, John. Since we did our holiday special, you know, we're taping this the week of New Year's. It may or may not be after New Year's by the time you listen. So, John, I have a question for you. Is your favorite modern baby New Year Dustin Rhodes or The Big Show?
I gotta go Dustin. I loved it. I thought that was so funny. It's so clever. He played it off great. Big Show, that always struck me as like a little odd, like this big giant, he's doing all this like weird comedy stuff. I know Vince loved it. I guess like he really is kind of like good at it, like he's a good actor, but it's just always struck me as a little weird.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like Dustin Rhodes could be really funny, or if he wanted to be really creepy. The Big Show I thought was always like overrated with the comedy. Like for me, and I know this is like an outlier, like his first year in the business, the giant, he was amazing. The standing dropkick, I think he won the world title within his first year. Like, that was it. And then it was like, whatever, you know, not body shame or whatever, but like, at least on camera, he was probably smoking before, but on camera, he was like smoking and he got heavy and whatever. Like, it was all downhill for me. Like, there was a second there as the Big Show when he debuted. It was like something could happen, but then nothing happened.
Very, I don't know, one of those things where a lot of promise and maybe could have even been even bigger than what he became. I know he became multi-time world champion in WWE and WWE, but I mean, it just felt like he could have been even bigger.
I think you had like there was wrestlers could be cursed for certain things. There was like one for many years, if you looked like Hulk Hogan, you had to be the next Hulk Hogan. Otherwise, it was a disappointment, like Lex Luger, Sid Vicious, whatever it may be. Or if you were really big, then you had to be like as good as Andre. And like, how can you be either?
Very true. Good point. Now, as far as the business, did you want to talk about the LinkedIn page?
Yes. So there's a number of housekeeping things that, you know, as we go from one episode to another that we often mention, but sometimes forget. So I just wanted to get them all in here. So our LinkedIn page, my goal is to get to 150 members. We've had some good growth even tonight as we promoted on X and so on, 142 members. Now, remember, we're the official business podcast of PW Ponderings. We're distributed by the Creative Control Network. We premiere first via your page on the Two Man Power Trip on YouTube. And we are open for sponsorship. Keep it going. Great rates. Even you could sign up for a year. Great rates. Fully integrated. John does some amazing ad reads, but it would be even more than that. So, you know, DM me. Message me on LinkedIn if we're connected. You know how to reach me.
I love that. All right, let's get into the news. What are the top rated channels of 2025? Maybe even via Variety.
Yes, so this is my my favorite list since I started noticing it a few years ago. I think it was IndieWire that came out with one first most years, and then Variety is even like a little bit more extensive than that. So they always have like winners and losers. So a loser of the year is Dr. Phil, as he has had issues with his station. That was something that we talked about in terms of potential wrestling channel, as they had a boxing show that seemed to be overperforming, but that's in the past. But a winner of the year, in addition to ESPN, was the CW. Speaking of controversial companies, Nexstar saw its CW network climb 13% in total viewership. A shift more towards live sports is clearly having an impact on the CW, which also saw its adults 18 to 49 rating climb a hair. So it's interesting, like, you know, as cable, you know, even television ratings for over-the-air networks have dropped. CW is 17 this year, 13% growth, just over 500,000 viewers. But I thought that they were doing much better than 2022, but I just wanted to do a comparison. So in 2022, they had lost 29% of their viewership, and they were doing 574,000. So just it goes to show how ratings are dwindling. So not going to go over the 150 plus three that they didn't have a rating for, but I wanted to cover some that are wrestling or pro wrestling adjacent. So just quickly, of course, CBS was number one. About 4.5 million viewers, down 12%. So this is significant, of course, as either part or all of the special from the White House is expected there on CBS. There's been different reports of that, all from Dana White at different points. Looking at the significance of SmackDown leaving Fox, just the importance of Fox, of course, it's a big four network. It's number four this year at just over 3 million viewers. ESPN, which is like really surprising, but not so as much with live sports, that they did almost 2 million viewers, plus 18%. TBS, 616,000, so down 17%. I think when I was looking at 2022, it was a little bit over 900,000. So big drop off there. USA Network continues to fall, down 30%, 472,000. A&E, 300,000, down 11%. Number 33, AMC, 286,000, down 10%. Vice, down 37%, just 37,000 viewers. So that just shows how important Dark Side of the Ring is to the network. PN Sports, up 50%. Well, they had, you know, somewhere to grow because 3,000 viewer average. BN Sports Espanol tied with them, which is actually usually ahead. They're down 25%. And Access TV, I don't know what happened. I think they might have stopped subscribing to the Nielsen ratings because they had a not applicable or not available, I guess, zero rating. So not that no one watched it, but I don't think it was rated this year. Any surprises in those numbers to you, John?
I don't know. I'm always kind of just surprised just overall of like the negative, you know what I mean? I guess just because everybody's kind of like leaving the, you know, traditional cable world. So whenever I see a positive, I'm more shocked. Like if like ESPN's up, like, I don't know, that surprised me. Maybe because of sports.
You know, John, stop me if I told this story on the show before, but my wife and I were looking at the cable bill and we're like, you know, forget about this already. Like I was kind of being lazy, like, because we basically are just using the internet. So I really wanted to cancel it. But they kept like, they dropped the price, like more than maybe like more than 50% just so that I wouldn't. And I was like, okay, fine. Just like keep it another year. I think it's probably, I mean, they advertise a better price for the internet, but it's probably like the same price or whatever. So I think the idea is that like, if somebody cancels cable, you'll never get them back, but like give them the best price possible and that, you know, you'll retain them.
Yeah, crazy. I feel like they're just, I don't know, they charge through the roof for the cable bill. And we, you know, obviously we got rid of it, but the streaming, all the streamings are getting out of control. Can't get away from it.
One thing that I'm looking forward to, I guess, is that we subscribe to Amazon, so we have Prime, and Disney Plus. Hulu is going to be like fully integrated. Like before, it was sort of like they gave you some Hulu stuff and then you had to get another app and get both, maybe pay more. But eventually Hulu will just be part of Disney Plus, which they have to be careful of because yep. Disney Plus doesn't really have like programming, I guess, beyond what you would consider like a PG-13 sort of thing. But Hulu is just like, you know, could be anything. So I'm sure they'll figure it out.
So as far as Jerry the King Lawler is concerned, obviously one of the all-time greats, one of my faves, what is going on here? I was shocked to see this. He's, you know, obviously he had a stroke. He had actually a couple of strokes, and obviously he's 70-plus years old. What is going on? One more match for the King?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this, John, probably too much, probably assuming, which I always wrongly do, that in a holiday week there wouldn't be much news. So I was like, what if we, like, you know, dissected all the different ways? The first thing that I want to say, as the politicians say, let me be clear, I don't think he should wrestle again, right? Like, according to what I found, like, at least, you know, in terms of the, what are they called it? I think strokes that he had. Or at least incidents, 2018, he had one. 2023 was his second that affected the left side of his body, impacting speech, writing, and ability to draw. And September 2025, he had one that affected his right-hand side of his body and his vision, let alone, you know, the, I think there was a heart issue on Raw and all that sort of thing. So, like, first of all, like, no, don't do it. But being the business of the business, if he really needs to do it, let's figure out A, maybe a safe way of doing it, and B, what's good for business. So I think I came up with the answer, John. You let me know what you think. So did you ever see those clips from the FedEx Forum when they have wrestling night?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of light and people don't expect too much. And Jerry Lawler, like, right, like he's best known for Andy Kaufman thing. So here's how I would book it. I'd have the, what is it, the Memphis Grizzlies, their mascot or equivalent, dress like Andy Kaufman. And he would taunt Lawler. And all Lawler would need to do would be to punch him and to put his foot on him. And they'd count 1, 2, 3. And then the mascot takes off the mask and somebody like familiar, maybe like a Jeff Jarrett. And then he has like, you know, it's a high profile goodbye. It's maybe even a sold out because of the basketball game or whatever. Like, I think actually having a match, and from what I read, I think he can walk, you know, without what people often get, a limp or, you know, a challenge in that way, but like doing something for Memphis Wrestling in their Wrestle Center or in Minglewood Hall or the parking lot of the Mid-South Coliseum or the Pipkin Building or Lander Center or Jackson Coliseum, the Oman Arena. Like, yes, you can draw people, and somebody like Jeff Jarrett could probably lead him through a safe match, or like, I don't know if he'd want to do it, but like Kane could come back and like bump for him, or you have like a Tommy Rich or Doug Gilbert, but like, you know, what's the risk, you know, inherent in that? It just doesn't seem like a smart idea. So what would you do, John?
I don't know. I wouldn't have him wrestle unless you're going to do one of those schmoz things where really he's not, you know, officially wrestling. It's too much risk involved with the King, but schmoz or him beating up the mascot, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to go. I don't know if like the management of the FedEx Forum would be like, listen, you know, I think even having him out there, like, what if it, you know, he falls, or just the excitement of throwing a punch or whatever, like, it's just too much risk for us. But, you know, I think every wrestler says that. Even Ric Flair like says he has a last match in him. It's just what it does, you know. John, when you're 85, you'll be like, I have one more podcast in me,
yes,
right? Like,
I, you know, one more run. Yeah.
It's inherited, but like when it's a physical thing, like you know, it's something to be careful of. So just having some fun with it, but obviously not a good idea. But if it would be maybe the FedEx thing with a mascot would be the best way to go.
Speaking of Lawler, let's talk a little WWE. Let's go NXT. What will happen with the PLEs? What's going on with the house shows? What is the latest on NXT?
Yeah, so with the news, most of the news that we'll talk about the rest of the day is not only the news, but really like prognostication, talking through what 2026 might look like. So with the PLEs, we talked about this a bit recently, but you know those will be available. And I think the best move is for the CW to pick them up. Obviously, as we just talked about, you know, they're really impacting their ratings. You know, it's above average of their, it used to be far above average, but now it's above average since they have the new Nielsen ratings system. That, you know, that would make the most sense. I think just like being isolated on another type of platform, you know, wouldn't make as much sense. I don't think it would be that impactful on Netflix. It would just be like a quick add-on, and it'd be hard to like keep that unique. And I think they're continuing to build something. NXT used to be higher profile, then it got lower profile, and they built it back really well recently. So I think that's something that you want to keep separate and unique. One of the things that came out this week was some reporting that NXT tapings will probably be more on the road, that it may be part of their contract with the CW, which is always a smart thing. Like wrestling tends to get stale when it's in the same place week to week. It seems to go well, though, like when they tape at the Performance Center for NXT. Not that I'm watching week to week, but like there seems to be like a freshness to it. So I'm less concerned, but it is good to get on the road. But in terms of getting on the road, house shows is something that we can keep taking a look at. So talking about Kane, having nothing to do with the show, but Knoxville, Tennessee, WWE presents NXT Live January 29th. So it looks like a small use of the building, according to Ticketmaster. A fair amount of tickets around the ring gone, but you know, fair amount here and there still remaining. Nashville, Tennessee at the Pinnacle on the 30th, plenty of tickets still remaining. Looking closer to ringside, the front row is sold out, but plenty of tickets in the second row still. As for their January 31st show, which will be in Birmingham at the Batwell Memorial Auditorium, as it should be. Hard to tell from the map, just because it's color-coded, but you can't tell how many tickets are distributed. And then, of course, Center Stage in Atlanta on February 24th, 577 tickets distributed thus far. Clearly, that will be a sellout of that small venue. Now, when we think about, like, the Coconut Tour, the Florida Loop, like, we've talked about this before, but it's easy to imagine that, like, they're doing shows all the time, but they're really not. So, okay, so let's say we have Florida at the end of the month. Sorry, we have them on the road at the end of the month, three shows. Then they'll have, you know, their shows in the Performance Center where they're recording. So that's the number of shows. But in terms of just getting out there in Florida, January 9th and 10th. So Davenport, Florida, Sanford, Florida, 16th and 17th, Melbourne and Dunedin. So that's all for January. So about, I guess, for like wrestling today, right? Like if you add that all up, that's about 10 shows. So that's decent. But I don't, you know, you have so many people at the Performance Center, right, that need the reps or at NXT. Then in February, you have them 6th and 7th, and then the 20th in various Florida states. In March, you have thus far March 13th, March 20th, and March 21st. It just doesn't seem like enough reps to me, John.
Yeah, I don't know. I always feel like they never have enough house shows, and I don't kind of get why that is. I feel like there's got to be more, and even the, like, wrestlers need to get more shows in there and more reps. I just feel like it's definitely not enough.
Yeah, it's good to see the the out-of-state shows or the more ambitious shows starting to grow. So hopefully that will be something that they continue to do. And if they have trouble drawing it, it won't be easy when you're not marketing it as a premium event. And that's what it seems like people are willing to go to these days and spend money on. You know, you have main roster talents that you're not using as much. And depending contractually, you could look at it like in a regional way. Are there talents that are from that area or have a connection through their college athletics or whatever it may be to do the PR and to supplement those shows, because NXT roster may not be enough. But what's interesting is that as we go back to like the, you know, the ratings, it's interesting that the CW is now a higher rated network than USA. So even though the ratings are lower for the WWE programming, they're on a higher profile network.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. What do you make of the holiday show? Do you think that it being down is it has to do with weather, or do you think that they're just like a colder product? Because last year, holiday shows were definitely hotter.
So I think it's firstly a couple interrelated things. I think that the Cena tour put you know, a number of big cities, you know, on the map. You know, in terms of having shows very recently. So it was hard to come back and scheduling for, you know, having the holiday tour, like Madison Square Garden, right? You had the Cena, and then you have Barclays Center in Brooklyn on January 5th. So, you know, it'd be hard to take that date. And, you know, sometimes the garden was down a little bit last year. So if you were doing 10 or 11 last year, you don't want to do the garden and do like 9,500. So I think their venue booking was less ambitious this year. So in terms of shows that have already occurred, so we have final numbers, or what I assume are final numbers. December 26th, Baltimore, 9,155. Tampa, 7,442. Pittsburgh, 8,659. Jacksonville, 6,000. Rochester, 4,000. Shows that are occurring tonight, I guess, giveaway. Well, that's Raw, so that's something else in Orlando. I wouldn't even put that in there. What's upcoming? Hertz Arena in Florida, 4,267. Detroit, 5,963 on the 30th. Tomorrow as we're recording this. So, right, that's a 20,000-seat arena, right, John? Little Caesars?
Mm-hmm. Pretty big, yeah.
Syracuse, 2,818 on the 1st, Upstate Medical University. Buffalo, 6,905. Worcester, Massachusetts, 6,169. Bridgeport, 5,626. I think, you know, the way they make decisions, and I'm sure they'll look at the venue and historically and so on, but
did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
I don't know. I'm kind of worried this might be the last year of the holiday tour, because this isn't like the way that they assess like what's worthwhile to them, and they don't like going in the road so much anymore. I hope this isn't the last year.
I hope not as well. I'm with you. I am with you right there on that. That's for sure. Now, in keeping with WWE here, what about their somewhat partners with TNA? What is going on with TNA?
Yeah, so first, the prognostication is, as we've talked about, John, the AMC is doing weekdays 286,000, or well, not weekdays, in primetime, 286,000 viewers. So I'm just not afraid, but, you know, I'd be concerned, like, what type of rating is TNA going to be able to do? Usually you have to exceed the station average for success. So for a network that does 286,000 viewers, if you do 150,000, 175,000, that's pretty disappointing. And, you know, I know you don't throw a lot of money into advertising like at this time of year, but thus far we've seen two ways that they're advertising. One is like continuously on AMC, which is good because we've seen it during Star Wars and Elf, and you know, it seems to be a popular rating for movies during the holidays, so that's good. And you have Talent that their contract to Talent that's pumping it up on social media, so kind of getting the word out, but not in a huge way. So I think the rating might disappoint. Another question mark is, are they going to be proactive in signing free agents? Either retention, which I think will be more likely, or getting somebody that would be a difference maker. I don't think they're going to get Jericho from the reports that are out there. Looking ahead to their debut on AMC, Curtis Colwell Center, thus far, 1,474 tickets distributed. Genesis, 1,673 tickets in the same venue. Albuquerque, 635 tickets in a setup of 2282 in a venue that's very large, relatively. And the second day, 593,000.
Interesting. Do you think that they're going to, I don't know, start selling some more tickets, or do you think that's kind of, you know, what you're expecting from them?
I think they've been good at finding a way to move the needle on those numbers. I think certainly they're not so far away in Garland for 2,000 already. They could get 2,500, 3,000, however they do it, sold or distributed. In Albuquerque, they have some more time, not that much time, 3 weeks. So I would say they'd get at least 1,500 in the building one way or another. But I would be concerned. Those aren't like the hottest numbers coming out of the gate there.
As far as New Japan Pro Wrestling is concerned, what's going on? How's Trenton doing?
So Trenton has crossed the 1,000 ticket threshold for February 27th, 1,038 tickets remaining. But just thinking about 2026, you know, I think, of course, their key is their relationship with AEW, which seems to be very solid in terms of talent sharing. Even as we talked about last week, their New Japan's world champion, right, is a regular with AEW. It's not just passing through. Is he with AEW more than he is with New Japan? You know, they have that basically one show a year. That November show that usually takes place in Seattle, like, it seems to me they don't even do it with New Japan. So that's like really their key to the U.S. I don't know, like, what should they do after Trenton, right? There's not really like a path forward. I would just like leave things alone, like maybe to look for opportunities here and there, kind of like what some of the Joshi promotions are smartly doing, not just touring regularly, but like when there is an opportunity, just like making the most of it. What would you do, John, if you were the president of New Japan USA?
Got to get some better talent there if you're going to continue working with AEW. I don't even know if I necessarily want to, because it makes your shows less significant if you can just see them in AEW or if they've been in America too many times. The best thing about the New Japan guys when they came over here was just like, oh, it's very scarce. You kind of had to see them those few times that they were here.
Yeah, that's a great point. I haven't even thought about that in a while. And that used to be like a question with like Ring of Honor when like they're both doing really well. I was like, should they split? Should they work together? Can they do both? I guess it really comes down to how much do they make on that one big show from AEW year? I think it's sort of like that rights fee domestic show a year. And, you know, what other considerations are there? Because I think when they run themselves in the U.S., I would assume that they're losing money out the door. And why does that make sense except to show investors that you're an international company? But if it doesn't help the bottom line, it just doesn't seem like a great idea.
What is going on with game by Change of Wrestling and Nick Gage. It looks like he's in pretty damn good shape. Is he lining up something? Is he coming back? It's Masha Slamovich coming back. What's the latest?
Yeah, so first with Nick Gage, so glad to read the news sent by Brett Lauderdale. On October 1st, this guy was face-to-face with death. Less than 3 months, the turnaround is shocking and remarkable. This is what it looks like when you break free from decades of addiction and finally start believing in yourself. The king is back, and I couldn't be more proud. MDK. So, you know, I would assume that, you know, GCW will be somewhere where he will base himself once again, whether he's wrestling or not. He definitely has shown, whether it's a desire, just, you know, a practical need to wrestle for some of the promotions. And Brett was alluding to that in follow-up posts, you know, that other promoters weren't as concerned with his health and just, you know, wanted him as a draw. But with GCW, as we'll see, like, they're, of course, struggling like many others at the gate, and to have, you know, the heart and soul of the promotion, you know, even at 45, of course, would be significant. Something to think about with GCW. Are they leading into more of the bloodier promotional events? I know that kind of sounds funny because they never went away from it, but they do have that, like, sort of balance where they're that, but then other times, like at the baseball stadium or at the mall, it's more like mainstream wrestling, and it's hard, like, sort of like, if you like wrestling, come to this, you know, mainstream type of experience. And it's hard to have the balance of that too, the duality of promotions, I guess. Now with Masha, I just put it here, nothing on the GCW front, but somebody had to be the first one to, you know, to take the leap. And at least in terms of announcing it, I'm assuming if this will continue to be her profession, she's going to have to, her primary profession, start working somewhere soon. But Marvelous in Japan, which I'm not familiar with, they're having a 10th anniversary show at Yokohama Buntai. And they announced Masha Slamovich as appearing. They had a video of her at a show, which I found out about through exposing the IWC on X. So sort of the more promotions that put her name out there, the less heat there will be on those that use her. And I think she will return to GCW eventually. And I know this is my flaw. I kind of feel like I'm having to do her, like, what do they call that? Like
PR?
PR, especially when it's like, you know, somebody that makes a mistake. Like, that's a special type of PR, like managing the negative publicity. And it's just because I like her as a performer, not excusing, you know, what has come out or anything like that. It's just an intriguing thing for me from a business perspective. And, you know, and we've discussed all those cultural issues and everything that's involved in terms of gender and everything like that. But just looking at their shows ahead. So at the moment, people are not necessarily looking to celebrate New Year's in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, at the wrestling venue there. There's still some front row tickets available, but I think, you know, in terms of an intriguing thriller content and events, you know, why not? I'm noticing, besides, well, we'll take a look, there are less shows where they need to fly talent out, or at least the main staff in and out. Even if you don't do so well at the gate in New Jersey, obviously that's generally a cost saving. But in terms of their best looking news at the moment, one night in Berwyn, which we talked about a number of times, there were some general standing room only tickets put on sale. Those are probably sold out at the moment. It was previously sold out, so kind of figuring out ways to pack that out a little bit more. But January 17th at Gillies, 10 or more tickets, second and third row, some tickets still remaining on the stage. In Philadelphia at Harrah's, 10 or more front row tickets available in the first, second, and third rows. John, have you ever been to the casino there, Harrah's in Philadelphia?
No, I've driven by it a bunch, but I have never been. I've actually was thinking about maybe doing a wrestling show there for GCW, but I've never been.
Cool. January 31st. I'd love to get your thoughts if that opportunity aligns. February 14th, back to LA. They, as we've talked about many times, they generally tend to do very well there. It's one of their strongest markets. At the moment, though, 10 or more tickets remaining in the second row and beyond, a few tickets on the stage as well. Mesa, Arizona, 10 or more tickets in the second row and beyond. Number of other shows still on the books, but a little bit early probably to look at the ticket sales or even if they're on sale. So in Kentucky, talking about leaning into Blood more, Kentucky will be a bloody show March 6th. And it's a triple shot, Columbus, Ohio on March 7th, and then Chicago on March the 8th. And that is, oh, you know what? One thing will lead into the next. So probably good to jump ahead to the thriller section. So I guess with the GCW, the question that we have is obviously the continued strength of Triller or challenges there, and if GCW would need alternative distribution. I think, like, when we started thinking about the problems maybe even 2 years ago, it was sort of like how it would affect the wrestling ecosystem. And I think now a lot of promotions have, even if they're still there, they've kind of found other alternatives or balanced it out in other ways. So I think really it would affect GCW the most in a way that would be noticeable. But looking at Triller, what other promotions lean on it most? Progress Wrestling and Defy Wrestling partner for live streaming and multiple events. Now, Defy has their own, I don't know if it's on demand or streaming service, what you would consider it. And I think even Progress too. So they're good. Wrestling Revolver, House of Glory, Insane Championship Wrestling, WXW, which has its own service, OVW, which I think, well, they do have the pay-per-view thing as well, and TNT are some of the most notable promotions that are on there, in addition to some smaller ones like One Fall Wrestling, and some additional smaller ones like All Caribbean Wrestling, which we don't hear about as much. There were some controversy there, Atomic Legacy Wrestling, and so on. The others that it's notable for is just supplemental for some of the bigger promotions. AEW Plus is on Triller for international streaming, where they don't have domestic rights in whatever market. TNA Wrestling, TNA Plus can flow through Triller. Yeah, that's so, like, I don't feel like Triller would be as much of a disaster for pro wrestling if it were to fall. I think independent wrestling has its own issues that aren't necessarily related to Triller right now, but it wouldn't help, certainly. What do you think about Triller's place in the ecosystem?
I feel like, I don't know, but I guess they're important to GCW, but they could probably maybe find it, another place. But I feel like other independent promotions, it wouldn't hurt as much, but GCW probably would because they're on there a lot. I mean, they kind of carry the torch there.
Yeah, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, and we speculate on them as a platform when GCW was like hinting that they would be somewhere where they come into the trailer. I think with Cyber Fight now being nearly profitable and Wrestle Universe having some momentum with a few promotions under his umbrella, that would be like a really smart move to pick up GCW if it were a fit. Because, like, so well established here in the US, and like you have a service that's likely much smaller, but like you have that momentum going.
What about ML Dub? Are they running as much? What's going on with MLW?
Yeah, so they tend to be on that once a month schedule, and if it crosses over to more than once a month, they tend to cancel or shift the show over. So some of the questions into the future is this relocation to the Carolinas. Where will we see that, like, start playing off and paying off. Like I mentioned, they have even a ticket, an email list just for people in that area, which I signed up for, haven't got anything yet. So it'll be interesting to see if they start doing shows like 1 month after the other in the area. The Elgato sponsorship is a, now I'm trying to think that I messed up the name, but is it the cat sponsorship? You know, that will continue to be something because it's already linked to, I think, Lucha Apocalypto as well. And distribution, I don't know, you know, TNA pulled a rabbit out of its hat there with AMC, like, who else and what else is left for MLW that's been constantly searching. So just to look at their forthcoming shows, the Battle Riot, which I think is like a little bit cheesy. I think it's a little bit overplayed in their eighth edition, but what do I know? 366 tickets distributed in that way. Lucha Apocalypto is basically sold out in terms of reserve seats with bleachers available. And March in center stage, just a couple rows going at the moment, but likely, of course, to pick up.
How about WOW, Women of Wrestling?
So, of course, you know, they're their own thing. Their biggest business driver every year is syndication renewal. So we got that word pretty late in September this year, which I was concerned about. But seems to be business as usual. Where will they record that once 1 year taping, right? Usually over multiple days, but it tends to be, unless there's something special going on, you tape the shows in late summer or early fall, you put it in the bank, and then you're good for the year, which I give them credit for because that's a good way of saving money. Their WOW shop is now live. Previously, they were on Amazon and a couple other platforms, but it looks sort of like print on demand. You can get, I'm not sure exactly of that, but you know, you could get different performers and logos on coffee cups and earbuds and that sort of thing. And, you know, why not have that available?
How about the NWA? It seems like they are doing some tapings and stuff coming up.
Yeah, so the NWA, I would say, is like probably in a similar position to MLW, kind of finding their way, although they did get sort of like a double distribution with the Roku channel, where their main program is not only on the Roku channel, but they have their own 24/7 with, actually with Wrestling Central, where they and WOW are the primary content providers there. So will they pursue other deals beyond streaming? That's something to see. Will there be new affiliates? What does it really mean for the affiliates that they have? Most of them tend to be tied to the main promotion, which is a good thing. And Tampa, I like that they tape in these like PBS studios or whatever. It just makes sense. And in terms of their main events, that this February 21st show is where they'll be taping most of the programming.
And of course, finally, your favorite topic, Here and There.
So first, John, I wanted to come back to the wrestling in India story. So as we knew, but it wasn't always like written about, that the, I don't know if it's considered Western, right, if it's Australia, but, you know, outside of Indian culture and so on, was Cam Vale, a former guest of the show, friend of the podcast, who was connected, but I didn't want to keep saying his name because a lot of the stories didn't feature his name, even though that was known. So he actually came out on LinkedIn and shared his part side of the story. One of my final posts for 2025, India focus on this one, to my dear friends in India. My network and friendship group has exploded this past year in India and was already pretty good due to wrestling, hockey, and so on. The irony was a lot was due to a startup project in wrestling that got so close to being delivered until the main investor, let's call him SV, proved to be not what he said he was. But it did introduce me to so many of you. So one bad person can't take away from dozens of great people is the theme of the story. What a vibrant place India is for sport and sports technology. Stay tuned. India, Australia, Sports Alliance in 2026. And then he posted pictures for the great Kali and so on. And, you know, reflecting back on what we talked about, what was it, just last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, that story was that, I guess Cam's team got so close, but then these distribution networks decided that they didn't want a westernized, or however you define it, non-domestic Indian product, that they wanted it different. So they were almost about to distribute it, and then they're like, it's all good, but we're going to do it a different way. And that made us both concerned. So that's closing the loop on that for the most part. Winter Wonderland Slam brings Santa and suplexes from the Pahrump Valley Times. Christmas is a time to share love and joy with others, but that doesn't mean there isn't room for a bit of rivalry too. With the holidays in full swing, the community was treated to a rumble in the rain as wrestlers descended on the town for the third annual Winter Wonder Slam, an all-free event hosted for one specific purpose, bringing smiles to faces in honor of the most wonderful time of year. It took place December 21st inside the McCullough Arena, where a pro wrestling ring had been set up in anticipation of the fights to come. The crowd was estimated at around 2,300, and people were ecstatic about the enormous turnout. It sounds like it's indoors, but all the pictures I saw were outdoors, so a little bit confused by that. Have to maybe take a look into that later. TJPW, so talking about like Joshi promotions that just seem to be focused on, you know, sort of finding their right opening. So they did really well in Texas last time they were around. I think that was more tied to like a premium live event, but they're back. And this is tied into the South by Southwest, which doesn't seem like as big a thing as it used to be, but they'll have four shows between March 17th and 22nd in Austin, Dallas, and Houston. And just looking at three other ambitious events, which we've touched upon before. So Limitless Wrestling presents the Limitless Rumble at the Coliseum, January 16th. So most of the floor is gone and some of the upper risers. So that's looking really good. ACW and the Poughkeepsie Rumble, they seem to be holding up really well, continuing to use this venue, which was used by NEW for many years. So kind of the successor to them, at least in terms of that venue use. That could be even a sellout on January 3rd. And Connor Murphy has been tracking CMLL sellouts, and sometimes it's hard to keep track of these things, but he reports that they had their 50th sellout of the year. And so Soberano's 8th main event sellout since returning from injury. And of course, the financials are quite different, and we can't forget about the Tokyo Dome show for New Japan. But CMLL, you know, seems to perhaps be maybe even worldwide, you know, the third biggest company, especially with how New Japan has been doing recently. Obviously, a great business success for them. Over 100, maybe 100 years, or over 100 years, or soon to be 100 years, as we compare the lucha market with AAA, now tied in with WWE.
92 years. 92. They just had their 92nd anniversary show. Great match. Mystico versus MJF. Title versus Mask was the main event there. So it's great, great stuff. CMLL is absolutely killing it. Over a million tickets sold throughout the year. 50 sellouts. Pretty amazing year for CMLL.
So, John, I'm trying to do the quick math. So by the time they have the 100th year, it'll be about plus 400. So we'll be at about episode 667, something like that.
Oh, my God. That's pretty crazy when you think about it. CMLL, though, maybe promotion of the year. I know WWE probably, obviously, you know, ended up making up more money, but I think CMLL had more sellouts.
I don't know, John. I saw Sports Illustrated. It just looked like AEW just ran away with it. Just people can't get enough of AEW, and so much success that they're the number one promotion. I know people are going crazy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all either. Even even creatively, I don't even know about that. But let's wrap this bad boy up and head towards the place. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. How about you, Lavi?
Yeah, I think we covered most of it at the beginning, but follow me on X at Lavi Marg, LaviMarg, and have a happy and healthy new year. Make the most of 2026.
That's right. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next week for a little business of the business. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our exclusive offer, go to manscaped.com and use the promo code BIZ, B-I-Z, for 20% off and free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. If you really want to make 2023 the year to remember, make sure to try out Manscaped's Wet Goods as well. This includes the Ultra Premium Body Wash, 2-in-1 Shampoo, and Body Deodorant. These products are absolute perfect for follow-up after your New Year's gym sessions. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIZ at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the promo code BIZ, B-I-Z. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Well, winners are getting paid. Now that backlash is in the books, now it's time to regroup before that storm hits. Just like the WWE, the real setup is already in motion. From every promo, every face-off, every backstage stare-down on Raw and SmackDown, it is all building towards one thing: Money in the Bank. If you know anything about Money in the Bank, you know chaos is coming, surprise cash-ins, career-defining moments, wild upsets. It's one of the most unpredictable cards of the year, and if you're ready, it can be one of the most profitable, too. Even if you've never bet on WWE before, this is your window. Keep one eye on WWE and keep the other on MyBookie. When the lines go live, they won't sit still for long. Lock in right now. Go to MyBookie. Use the promo code CONTROL. CONTROL and boost your bankroll. Deposit $50, get an extra $25. Go bigger with $100, and MyBookie throws in $50. That's right. Use the promo code CONTROL, boost that bankroll, deposit $50, get an extra $25, or go bigger, deposit $100, and MyBookie will throw in an extra $50. Bet smart, stay ready, and cash in when it counts, only at MyBookie.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.